Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.
Those were some bonkers lines the Flames rolled at practice today. As we welcome you back to the program and convene our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, let me tell you what the lines looked like at practice today. Elias Lindholm was centering a line with Matthew Tkachuk and Andrew Mangiapane. Michael Backlund was in the middle with Sean Monahan on the left and Dylan Dubé on the right. You had Derek Ryan with Milan Lucic and Johnny Gaudreau. And finally, Mark Jankowski, Tobias Rieder, and Michael Frolik as a line. Those are the forward lines. The D pairings were fairly standard, but it was the forward lines that had everybody going, what exactly are we looking at? Let's convene our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, alongside Ryan Pinder and Pat Steinberg. And I think we hear Zoe in the background as well.
You do. I took her outside. I put the Christmas lights up, so I brought her outside with me. And I had her chained up. I forgot to take her collar off. She's such a princess that if I leave her collar on for 5 minutes, she's just relentlessly scratching her neck, saying, get this thing off me. So I had to take her collar off so she wouldn't disturb us during our little hit here today.
Well, good cameo from Zoe.
And yeah, Zoe says hi. Yeah.
And we say hi back. What Jeff Ward told us afterwards that, you know what? He likes to try different things at practice, expect him to give us some different looks at practice. He likes to see what he has before he ever goes to him in a game or feels like he needs to go to him in a game. I like that philosophy, but did you like seeing the coach try some pretty drastically different things?
I did. Why not? And our conversation at the rink today went something along the lines of this. These can't be lines. Can these be lines? These might be lines.
Derek, these are lines.
Yeah, that's kind of how our conversation went, right? I mean, it was right out of left field. But, you know, he talked about trying things that he might use now but might not and might use down the road. You never know when you're going to run into a situation where you lose a guy to injury or multiple guys to injury or when things aren't going well for a line or for a group of forwards or a group of defensemen and you want to change things up. And if you haven't tried certain combinations, it's a little risky to try them for the first time in a game situation. So why not try them at practice? So I think that's one of the reasons why he did it. I think the other reason why he did it and didn't talk about it, so this is just me guessing, is just to, again, freshen things up. I think some combinations maybe have grown a little bit stale over the years. And when you think about the dynamic duo, until this year at least, of Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, I mean, they have played almost six seasons together. They've been in the league for six seasons together, Monahan now for seven. And outside of before Gaudreau came into the league and Monahan, you know, was playing with other guys on a regular basis, those two guys have been together for 6 years. So why not freshen things up? And it felt like a good time to do it, coming off a couple of days off. Team's feeling a little bit better about itself right now, a couple of wins in a row, a season-long four-game point streak. And you've got some time to tinker at practice this week. So I liked it. It was fun.
We'll see if they last. But it's clear that this coach is wanting to look for alternatives. As you suggested, Pat, in case, you know, Plan A doesn't go well. Plan A hasn't worked this year, but it's also nothing new. Bill Peters had done a ton of line shuffling and changes throughout the course of the year, and so I don't know that we don't see more shuffles at practice today if there isn't a coaching change. So it's interesting because we're less than a week into this coach's tenure running the club. I guess a week today, really, when you think about it, when they probably came to the realization that Bill Peters wasn't going to be back. And just to sort of get a sense of what his decisions are versus what the staff would have done. I don't know that this is any different, but hey, it's Coach Ward that's doing it this time.
I'm interested just because let's say that this is the same look that we see again tomorrow at practice, and maybe these lines don't translate into the game on Thursday, but if you can have two or three practices where you try something different and you can get some tape on it, you can get some eyes on viewing on it, and then say 6 weeks from now things really go stagnant and you feel like, okay, we need a change, well, you can go back and look at the data and look at the reports that you had from these different combinations in practice and say, okay, we like this. We're going to give this a try now in a game. That's the best part about it for me, and that's the philosophy that I really like about it. It's just the fact that you're trying something new and you're doing it with the idea that maybe you could use this at some point in the season. Whether it's Thursday against the Sabres or Saturday against the Kings, I don't know. But at some point you might be able to use this and have some actual data of when it's been used as opposed to just throwing it together and flying blind on it.
Yeah, and maybe you try to practice and you don't like the way it looks, or you talk to the player afterwards and he doesn't feel comfortable in whatever position you put him in, and it's something you decide not to go back to. I see it a little bit differently than you do, Ryan. I mean, yes, Bill Peters was never afraid to change up his lines and his pairings, but we've never seen anything like this. I mean, Sean Monahan on left wing with Michael Backlund, Johnny Gaudreau on a line with Milan Lucic. I mean, he's played briefly with Derek Ryan before, because when Sean Monahan got hurt, Ryan got promoted to first line center for a handful of games last season. But we saw some crazy things today that I have not seen under any other coach. Bill Peters, Glenn Gullitson, Bob Hartley. So a little different look and feel for me today, at least.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2 weeks ago that Bill Peters had Backlund centering Gaudreau and Lindholm. I don't think we'd seen that before. Safe to say,
these are the most drastic looking changes that we've seen.
And which leads me to believe they might not last till Thursday. I wonder personally about the Ryan Lucic Dubé line getting split up. Would you really go away from that now? It's kind of the line you know exactly what you're getting from. So tomorrow will be the telling story, whether this is something that breaks up multiple days of practice without play, or whether this is absolutely getting set for a date with the Sabres. And tomorrow at practice, we'll see a little more of which of those two things it is.
Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, Pat Steinberg. It's our Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable. And one of those changes that we saw at practice today was Elias Lindholm at center. It's been a conversation that the three of us have had a few times. It's been a conversation that I think has kind of been one that has been hanging over the team all season long, is will they do this? Is this something that they're interested in doing? Is it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Let's bring it back again. Lindholm centering Matthew Tkachuk and Andrew Mangiapane. Is it time to give Lindholm a long look down the middle?
It might be. And I know you guys have been absolutely 100% dead set against moving Elias Lindholm from right wing to center. So today must have been a difficult day for you.
We are listening. You're not going to catch us there. No, no.
You know what,
guys? No.
It might be. We talked about Sam Bennett yesterday. And when Sam Bennett's ready to come back, depending on what happens between now and then, I wouldn't mind getting a look at him at center again. But for the time being, Mark Jankowski's struggles have me thinking more and more about, at least for now, until Sam Bennett comes back and potentially after he comes back, giving Elias Lindholm a look at center. So let's say you take Jankowski out. So that bumps everybody down. And now you've got Lindholm, if they move Monahan back to center, Monahan, Backlund, and Ryan as your four centermen. I think it could work. And Jeff Ward, when we had a chance to chat with him, and we had a great conversation with Flames' new interim head coach, didn't we? And he gave us some great insight on why he's been thinking about Lindholm as a centerman for a couple of years now and why he tried it today. Talked about how good he is defensively and how he can work down low in the defensive zone and how good he is in that position because of his awareness, his battle level. I think it makes a ton of sense. I also think he's their best right winger. So if he's not playing right wing with, well, assuming they're together, Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, who goes into that spot? So you maybe answer one question and then you're left wondering, well, how are they going to answer this question? So I would say I'm for trying it. Now might be the best time to do it because, you know, outside of Lindholm, those two guys continue to struggle to produce points offensively. And if you're going to try it, probably sooner rather than later, right?
Yeah, we were a little stunned when they set out for that season-long road swing that started with the outdoor game in Regina, that it really only saw 125 minutes of Elias Lindholm at center ice, and one game was outdoors with wind and the other indoors, that we thought it would be a long look and an opportunity for Lindholm to get comfortable there, to find out what you have. And I think that's what this all is all about. We can guess whether it'll work or not, but at the end of the day, it's just that. It's a guess. Until we actually see substantial minutes for Lindholm at center ice, we don't know where he stacks up as a center iceman compared to the other four options that they've got on the roster that play center regularly, and the other options like Sam Bennett that you brought up, who play the position less regularly but do have some history with center ice. Until you know exactly what he is at center ice in the NHL, a position he hasn't played regularly since his Carolina days, I don't know how you build your best roster, especially if the trio of Monahan, Gaudreau, and Lindholm isn't clicking, which is exactly the case a third of the way through the season.
I think there's the potential, and we won't know until it's given a shot to roll this way, but I think there is the potential that a line with Elias Lindholm centering Matthew Tkachuk and Andrew Mangiapane could be a line you could put out in any situation, in any matchup, matched up against any other line on the other team, and they would do just fine and probably win some of those battles. Because I think there's a chance that Elias Lindholm is this team's best center. I think there is a very good argument to be made that Matthew Tkachuk is this team's most complete winger. And when you throw in Andrew Mangiapane's hockey IQ, he may not have the offensive upside quite at the same level that Lindholm and Tkachuk do, but there's some finish there. And I think with all three of their ability to play 200 feet, all three of their ability to think the game at a high level, and the offensive upside that exists with Tkachuk and Lindholm being essentially point-per-game players going back to the beginning of last season, that to me looks like it could be a top line in the NHL. Not just a top offensive line, but a top all-situations line that you can play anywhere, in any spot, and can still get offense from. And that's why it excites me so much. That's why I'd really like to see that, whether it's Thursday or whether it's in a few weeks, but I'd really like to see that trio with Lindholm in the middle get an extended look to see what they could do.
Okay, let's hash this out a little bit further. So if Elias Lindholm is playing center, what do you think the lines could potentially look like? So you talked about Lindholm between Tkachuk and Mangiapane. So let's say that's one line. What would the other three look like? Would you have Monahan and Gaudreau together?
I would. So they'd be together with, I mean, you could plug in a number of different wingers on the right side there.
Dubé, Bennett, Zarnik, just to name a few.
Yeah, so I put Zarnik there for now. Because I'm leaving the Dubé, Ryan, Lucic line together. You guys
understand
okay with that?
I think they want to do that. Yep.
Yeah, I've got Backlund and Frolik back together because we know that combination works. So who would we put on the wing with those two guys?
You could put Bennett there, and he's worked there before. Even if it only went a period of giving that a try in some form or another this year, I think that's true. In a defensive role, I think that could
Reader
work. And then, see, again, like,
I have a tough time keeping Reader as the top 12 forward when everyone's healthy, and that's the assumption when we're talking about Zarnik and Bennett, who aren't back yet. So I think Reader is very replacement level, and they wouldn't be upset if they lost him on waivers, and that you've got a lot more production from the likes of Bennett, Dubé, and Zarnik than you're going to get from him. He's not a bad player. He's just, you know, guys like him cross the waivers all the time.
Of the guys now, I think Jankowski and Reeder would be my odd guys out if Bennett and Zarnik are being factored into the conversation.
Agreed.
So I'd probably...
Why don't we forget about Bennett for now, though, because he's not even skating the team. I think we can use Zarnik because he is a full participant at practice. I think he's going to be available Thursday. That's my guess. So I'm going to throw my four lines at you, and you guys can let me know what you think.
Sure.
And if you think you'd go in a different direction, feel free to do that. So I've got Tkachuk, Lindholm, Mangiapane, Gaudreau, Monahan, Zarnik, Reeder, Backlund, Frolik, Lucic, Ryan, Dubé. So Jankowski's the odd man out.
And clearly Zach Rinaldo's not in the picture at the moment. Zarnik's off LTIR. That's the assumption we're all making here. So
yeah,
I don't have a problem with those. I think they keeping the Lucic, Ryan, and Dubé together is something that makes a lot of sense. If you don't do that, you could... There's lots of other things to do, but I think they will keep that together. It's been their best line for a month. I think I'm pretty similar to you there, Derek.
Yeah, and not a whole lot of change there either. And then if all of a sudden Ryan, Dubé, and Lucic don't start playing as well as they have been, then you can interchange from there. But for right now, that's kind of where I would be looking, and you'd have the option of using Backlund's line and Ryan's line in defensive matchups. You can go in any situation for Lindholm, and goes back to why I've been such a proponent of using Lindholm at center. What it really does is allow Monahan and Gaudreau to get better matchups and more time in the offensive zone, more starts in the offensive zone, which I think could be a huge, huge way of getting them going and breaking them out of the doldrums that they've been in.
The only other thing I would consider, if you were willing to break up the Ryan line, is swapping Zarnik and Dubé. I think Dubé's pace and his forecheck could potentially help Monahan and Gaudreau. If he can get in there and retrieve pucks, if Monahan can get to the soft spot in front of the net and Gaudreau's the playmaker, I think that threesome could work as well. Mm. But, yeah, I mean, if you move Lindholm to center, you've got plenty of options.
Well, yeah. And this could all be a moot point if Mark Giordano's playing center tomorrow. And then,
so we're expecting that.
what about Cam Talbot? They need to get him some ice time.
Yeah, Talbot could be playing right wing tomorrow, and that could change things up completely. it's our Daily Flames Roundtable with Derek Wills, Ryan Pinder, and my name is Pat Steinberg. We're going to hear from Matt Stajan next as he has announced his retirement today. Just thought some reflections on Stajan, who played 1,000 games in the NHL. He got to that milestone as a member of the Calgary Flames and really turned into one of the fan favorites and a guy that everybody wanted good things to happen to. Some reflections on Matt Stajan, who officially announced his retirement today.
Look, I'm going to talk about Matt Stajan, the person, in just a moment. But as far as Matt Stajan, the player, is concerned, for me, there is one moment that sticks out to me more than any moment, not only with him, but any moment that I've had calling Flames games for 6 years. So Kleiner's got the clip.
Here's Edler across his blue line. He bounces it off the skate. Now Jones will pick it up and bring it in for the Flames. Jones up the left side, shoots. Miller the save. Rebound. Ferland raw by Miller. Now Stajan scores! Remaining in regulation time, and the Flames have their first lead of Game 6. It is 5-4.
For me, that's my favorite moment in 6 seasons calling Flames games. That was the game-winning goal, the series-winning goal, as that find-a-way Flames team got into the playoffs and won that first-round series against one of their arch-rivals, the Canucks, and I thought he was a pretty fitting guy to score the deciding goal in that game. The Flames were down 3-0 in that game, if you guys remember. Battled back, took a 4-3 lead, and never looked back. So just an awesome moment for Matt Stajan. As a player, a guy who I think you knew what you got almost every single night. And I know at the end it was difficult for him because the team wasn't performing the way he wanted them to. And, you know, his role certainly wasn't what it once was. But, you know, a lot of great memories of Matt Stajan as a player. But for me, equally, just the person. I mean, how many times did he win the Peter Marr Good Guy Award? I mean, he could have won it every single year. I mean, I know he was on my ballot every year. For me, there are a handful of guys who I know I can go to in good times and in bad times, and I'm going to get an honest set of answers from them. And Matt Stajan was always one of those guys. Always had time for us, never complained about having to deal with the media, absolutely loved dealing with the fans, just a first-class person, a terrific player. So congratulations to Matt Stajan on what I think was just a fantastic career.
1,000-plus games, and that's an incredible feat that puts him amongst a small, small group in the NHL. And everyone will tell you, better person than a hockey player, so that's saying something special.
He, the thing that always struck me about Stajan was, and kind of similar to your point, when he got here in, I guess that would have been 2010, when he was acquired by the Flames, and when they brought him in from the Toronto Maple Leafs, it did not go well. The first couple years as a member of the Flames, he signed a big contract right away, and the first couple of seasons didn't go very well. He wasn't scoring very much, and it just didn't seem like it was a fit. And as really the centerpiece of the Dion Phaneuf trade, which was a blockbuster deal at the time. He had a huge spotlight on him, and there was a lot of criticism. I took the calls, and we talked about it. Stajan really struggled, and yet didn't matter what was written about him, didn't matter what was said about him. You could go to him, and he would always have time to chat with you. He would treat you the same when you were being critical of him as when you weren't being critical of him. And I think the attitude, the personable nature, and being such a good ambassador in the community for the team, it started to turn the narrative. And then when Stajan started to play a whole lot better and the on-ice stuff started to take a positive turn, it was really easy to buy in as a fan. It was really easy to be happy for him. The guy was the consummate, well, still is, but as a member of the Flames, he was the consummate class act, the consummate guy that you would want to face the media, and the guy that you would want representing your team in public. He was he really was one of, if not my favorite guy to ever deal with in this league. And so he got his 1,000 games in. He got a year in Europe, and now he gets to retire. You see all the accolades that are pouring in from different former teammates, and they're all deserved. So that would be my reflection on Matt Stajan.
Yeah, and I heard your conversation with him earlier, Pat. Nice job with that. And I really think that whatever Matt Stajan decides that he wants to do, whether it's to become one of our brothers in the broadcast industry, or if he wants to get into coaching, and that's kind of what I always thought that he would do. You know, he just seemed to be the type of player who would eventually get into coaching. Doesn't sound like he maybe wants to get into it full time right now, because he's got a family that he's going to prioritize at this stage of his life. But if he wants to coach, I think he'll be a great coach. If he wants to be a broadcaster, I think he'll be a fantastic broadcaster. So put my hands together for Matt Stajan and tip my hat to him on an excellent career.
We will hear that conversation around the corner. Mr. Wills, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye, Zoe.
All right, guys. See you tomorrow.
Daily Calgary Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. This hockey season, you can view over 70 vehicles in their warm showroom. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, minutes from the airport.